We are working our way very slowly through the book of 1 Timothy. A chapter each quarter. We've gone through the first and second chapters. Now we're on the third chapter. The first chapter, we've looked at the work that you have to do. You have a job to do if you're going into the pastorate or if you're going to be a ruling elder or a leader in church. One of the first things you have to do is to teach people, stop teaching sloppy doctrine. Stuff that they think is really cool and really helpful and is a bunch of really unhealthy stuff. That's the first chapter. Paul says to his young man, Timothy, go kind of clean up this mess. There's people that want to teach the Bible. They don't know the Bible, and they think they really are doing good, and they're really doing damage. You need to deal with it. And by the way, there's two guys in particular that I've handed over to Satan so that they learn not to blaspheme. Paul names names. Okay, so he gets to chapter 2. That's the work that you have to do. And I don't know if any of you ever had the privilege of seeing Super Chicken. It's a great cartoon from the past. Anybody ever see Super Chicken? Probably haven't seen it, okay. It was this little chicken and fences. And he has a big lion named Fred. And the shtick of the cartoon is Fred always gets killed. You know, gets run over. And Super Chicken has this great line. Well, Fred, you knew this job was tough when you took it. So if you're going to go into the pastorate, my son-in-law was just ordained to the ministry at PCA Church out in California, had the privilege of participating in that. He's got a big target on him, okay? And it's not just people outside that's trying to crush you. It's just people in the church that are going to kind of turn on you. And you're going to go, wow, I thought they were sheep. Maybe they're goats. Maybe they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay. Well, the priority for the work in chapter 2 we saw was prayer. Can't emphasize that too hard or too long. Your primary task is to get the men to pray with holy hands. Right? And he goes on to talk about women and their position in the congregation. The men need to lead, raising holy hands, and women need to dress to bless instead of dress to kill. Okay. Amen, ladies. You can amen. Men can't do that, but you can amen that one. Okay. Don't come walking in there, kind of. Okay. All that. Okay. Now chapter 3. Okay. Chapter 3. That's my wife's. I would send my wife to go talk to certain women. It's not my job to tell them they're dressed improperly. You go talk to that young lady. She's not dressed appropriately for worship or anywhere else. You need to talk with her. She's going to get in trouble, and I have stories about that. It does happen. Well, we want to look at chapter 3. Yeah, again, another, I'm sure this one you've seen is Chariots of Fire, right? Seen Chariots of Fire. I'm sorry for those foreign-born students didn't get a chance to watch Chariots of Fire. And there's a great character in there because he's half Italian, half Arab, Mr. Mussolini, okay? And Harold Abrams, it comes up to him and he says, I really want to run and I want to win the Olympics. And Mr. Mussolini has this great line. He goes, well, Mr. Abrams, we have a saying in the business. You can't put in what God's left out. We can't make you a godly man or woman. That's something the Holy Spirit has to do. And we want to look at your qualifications today. So let's give heed to the Word of God, chapter 3. I'm sure you're familiar with it, and we'll go over this quickly. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of a bishop or overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard nor violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, and then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their women likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, not but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness, who was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on the world, taken up in glory. First of all, beloved, your task, if you're going to be a pastor, is to oversee God's flock. Now, it's interesting to me, I have a strange mind, but all these arguments that go back and forth, two office, three office, you know. If you read Timothy, who gets double honor? It's not the preacher, it's the guy that rules well. Preaching is important. It is the centerpiece, but you have to manage God's people. You have to oversee them. And I would argue that means you have to be in their house. You have to be with them. You have to go see them at work. You have to know your sheep. You need to be with them. You need to oversee them. Why? This is a landmine. You are the point man in the congregation trying to get your sheep to heaven without having their limbs torn off by Satan or picked off by the evil one. And that is a tough, tough job. Sheep are notorious, you know. I've always said this. They baa at one end and at the other end. And, you know, when you're a shepherd, you've got sheep that are scared. They don't always understand. They could get out the 5 points of Calvinism, but they may not be able to live their life in an orderly way to get to heaven. And that's your job. So keep that in mind. You need to lead those sheep, and you need to feed those sheep, and you need to protect them. And there are many good books on shepherding, you know, by shepherds who, I really think it's ironic, a lot of God's, in fact, most of God's covenant leaders were what? Shepherds. Noah, Abraham, Moses. He had a tough one. 40 years with sheep, and then 40 years with sheepy people. Think about that. That's a long pastorate. Long pastor. Okay. But that's what you have to do. The second thing that you need to keep in mind is your qualifications. We don't have time to go into detail, but let me just read them again. Husband of one wife. That one's pretty clear. I don't know how you can be the husband of one wife if you're not a man, but that's another time for another thing. Husband of one wife. You have to be sober-minded. This isn't fun and games. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and people are going there. Self-controlled. That's straightforward. Respectable. I'm still working on that one. Hospitable. Okay? You can't say, okay, let the deacons take care of this, or Tom Baudet, hotel, you go down there, okay? Can you imagine Lot, Lot saying to the angels, "Oh, by the way, there's a hotel over here. No, you can't stay here. Hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard." I'd extend that to drugs as well, or other things. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well. Notice these. There's both positive and negative personal qualifications and pastoral. But the pastoral really are minimal, aren't they? If I'm reading the list correctly, what is it? It's personal holiness. Right? And this is for all. I mean, every Christian. It's not like men have to be sober and women can get drunk. We have to be hospitable and the women can say no. These are godly characteristics. And because the sheep need to be able to follow your example. This is scary, but you have to hear it. Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ Jesus. Are you really serious about that? That you could say to somebody, come, Gabe or any other, come over to my house. I'm a sinner. My wife will surely tell you that, but I'm living in a repentant way and I'm trying to love my family. And by God's grace, I'm making it. Please come and watch. Watch how to have family worship. Come and watch how to discipline the kids. Here's a good one. Come and learn how to ask your wife for forgiveness when you blow it. I do that a lot, so you can learn from that. That's what you have to do. These are the qualifications. Personal holiness, not professional skills. Now, that doesn't mean shabby preaching or shepherding, but the bottom line is your life. I'll say this. He's with the Lord now, more godly than I ever will be. And he could preach. He wasn't the greatest preacher, but the guy I followed, Lou Grotenhaus, 40 years, one congregation, milked people's cows, carried their mortgages. This guy was incredible. They loved that guy because that guy would lay down his life for his sheep. And they'd follow him. Some of you guys at this point, they wouldn't follow you to McDonald's, let alone to the cross. I'm serious. And I'll say this, I am not for bad preaching. But I want to say this. I've seen many a congregation that has grown, and you can laugh all you want, us reform guys, right? But I've seen many a Baptist church raised up from the ground from nothing by a pastor who loves people and plays shortstop on the softball team, and those guys know that this guy would lay down his life for him. They'll follow a guy like that, and they need somebody to follow. Because I want to tell you, there are people trying to pick them off, literally or spiritually. You can't have a backyard barbecue in Wilkinsburg without getting shot. That's your sheep. That's the sheep that you're going to have to bury and try to get to heaven. Well, finally, where does the source come from? That's kind of interesting. Well, those last few verses. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that what? If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. That's what the sermon's all about, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Now notice this. What's the mystery of godliness? It's Jesus, isn't it? Right? Just walk through this. I think it's historically written. I know others don't think that, but who was manifested in the flesh, that's the incarnation, justified or vindicated by the Holy Spirit, seen by angels, that angels saw him on the cross. Demons saw him. He was seen in the world, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. It's just that simple. Friends, you're not going to be able to do this without Jesus. That's the mystery of godliness for your sheep, and that's the mystery of godliness for you as a pastor. You won't be able to pull this off without the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, he's at the right hand of God, interceding in our nature. They are continually in our nature pleading what? The obedience and suffering when he was in the flesh and saying, I want it apply to all my people, the people you gave me, Father. And that's your only hope as a Christian. Godliness and godly leaders are supernatural in nature. For you to be a godly leader and get your people to heaven is just as difficult and impossible for you as Peter walking on water. And don't you ever forget that. The day you get up and you think that you can walk one day without Jesus Christ, or you've got this figured out because you've been a pastor for 30 or 40 years, that's the day you're going to get picked off. It's not just the guys that are dirty young men that should have never gone into pastorate because they don't have their sexual desires under control. I know guys who have been very pure who end up getting caught in adultery. Why? Because they don't have the common sense to have women counsel women or counsel in the presence of other people. The evil one wants to knock you off, and you will not do it apart from Jesus Christ. Well, the incarnate, risen, and glorified Jesus is your only hope. So I ask you just simply, do you manage your family well? Is your life in order? If it isn't, don't go into the pastorate. The pressure will be even greater. Has the Holy Spirit worked in you these positive and negative qualities? Are you, struggling with drugs or alcohol? Are you struggling with pornography? Are you struggling with, you fill in the blank, an uncontrolled temper? All these things will get flushed out in the pastorate and the pressure will be greater. But above all, are you in love with the person and work of Jesus Christ? Look, you guys, some of you guys really, I get excited when I see this, but you really love your wife. And you talk about her, and you're sort of proud of her. You know you married above your abilities. Why aren't we that way about Jesus Christ? Have you ever known anybody that ever loved you the way Jesus Christ did? Unrequited love. That really. Go read Isaiah 5. I preached that once, and I said, that's Israeli country western music. I did the vineyard, and I planted the vineyard, and I did everything for my vineyard. What did I get? Sour grapes. I'm supposed to get real grapes, but what did I get? Stuff that sets you on the end. I have to say, friends, that that's about the best I can do apart from Jesus. And God's not above, and I've experienced this, I believe it. I can't tell you this because you're going to tell me I'm a charismatic, but I think God's put me in the hospital a couple of times saying, hey, you better take better care of my sheep than that. And if I have to put you in the hospital with some undiagnosed illness to get your attention, I'll do it. So the heavenly shepherd wants you to love the sheep the way Jesus loved you. Let's pray. Father, we do pray. We thank you that we have a model, but a model that we can't follow unless we have the Holy Spirit. But you have poured out your Spirit on us. Lord, these qualifications on one level are impossible, but on the other, Lord, we're not told to do some supernatural feats. We're told to be sober-minded and holy people who love and are hospitable. And so by your grace, Lord, we can do this. And we pray that you will enable us to do it for your glory. And Lord, please help us to love Jesus more. Please don't let us live if we don't love you. Because life isn't worth anything apart from you. And Lord, that's the best thing we can do for our sheep is to reflect a love and a commitment to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's sing and stand and sing 23B, 23B about the Good Shepherd.